Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 136 of this crazy little thing called love that we formally refer to as Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively right here on listener-supported Head On Radio Network. Also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch. That's Coal River Mountain Watch at crmw.net. Stop by Coal River Mountain Watch and see what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Monday, April 28, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time, on April the 28th of 2008, you're indeed listening to a live show, and you're welcome to call in and participate with myself and the guest whom I'll be introducing shortly. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests as well as the audio archives from past shows. You'll find links to our chat room. It's a good night to stop by and join the chat. There are links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page, and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. You'll find links there also to the Head On Radio Network's main site, and there you can find out about all the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, as well as the PayPal button to make it easier for you to support the Head On Radio Network. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-4. Head On. If you have unlimited long distance, we encourage you to use that and save the studio a nickel or buck, but either way, we're glad to take your calls. The toll line is area code 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the email during the break. Now, if you are listening to one of the podcasts, as so many of the listeners do, we are glad to have you participate in the show by dropping us an email after the fact. And if you'd like to have anything forwarded to the guest, I'll be glad to take care of it that way. Our guest this evening, and Bob is bringing the guest on and contacting the guest as I speak, it's 2 o'clock in the morning her time, actually. It took a while to figure that out because of the various daylight savings time and when was daylight savings time instituted in the United Kingdom and looking these things up on the internet. We finally figured out that both Florida and the United Kingdom are in daylight savings time, which means, in fact, there is a 5-hour difference between us. So Chantel Pierre, in fact, will be joining us shortly. Bear in mind that it is 2 a.m. Chantel's time, and she's expecting Bob to wake her up. One moment. I'm having a message here from the main studio. Okay. Tell you what. Let's see. Let me do a PM here, and I'll see if I can straighten that out. We're having a little bit of trouble saying that the number can't be reached from the calling area. Now, this is new information. The phone company had told us we could dial in easily. And, in fact, the international calling package is up and running for the network. One moment. Let me PM Glenn here and see if I can get a different way to contact him. Once contact her. Be right back with you. Okay, yeah, there we go. That's taken care of. I've requested that our executive director of music talent, bookings, who is Mr. Glenn Rivera, give her a call. I know that she has toll-free long distance to the United States, but hers is 1 hour at a time, so we'll probably have her on about an hour since it's 2 o'clock in the morning her time. That being the case, and Glenn is contacting her now. Chantel is going to be an interesting guest. Chantel had a couple of huge underground hits in around 1979, and we'll be talking about how a little girl growing up in the United Kingdom managed to make it all the way to a turntable in Portland, Oregon during the early 80s. That's quite a bit of distance for a kid growing up in England to make it all the way, and on RCA Records, no less. Tell you about some of the upcoming shows we have here. Tomorrow evening, we're going to have Jansen Borges on the show. Now, Jansen is an 18-year-old Coral Glades High School student, and we'll be happy to have him on the show because he is a Gleason student organizer. Jansen will be talking tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock about the National Day of Silence in support of the anti-bullying of kids coming up in elementary schools and middle schools and high schools. Jansen is an 18-year-old senior at Coral Glades High School, Dunning in Coral Springs, Florida. And we're grateful that Gleason put us in touch with Jansen. Now, on the 30th, we will have Mr. Scott Hall. Now, Scott is a guest we've had on the past. He is with Gay American Heroes. Actually, today, Gay American Heroes had their exhibit, which is an exhibit of photographs of LGBT folks who have been murdered because of their orientation. The first exhibit in the state capitol happened today. Scott Hall and many others, there were press conferences. I was very sorry. I'd hoped that I would be able to attend that. Because I was not able to attend it, Scott has agreed to join us this coming Wednesday evening, and Scott will be bringing us a story from Gay American Heroes exhibit in the Capitol here in Tallahassee. And let's see, getting in touch with Chantal. Okie doke. Little story. I'll cover a couple of news events while we're getting a hold of her. Sorry about the difficulties. International calling is always tricky. It's unknown why our international calling package is not working correctly this evening. It was verified today, but you just never know about these things. I guess we should have tried calling the Queen today. That might have, if we could have gotten the Queen of England on the phone, we would know that we could have, in fact, reached Chantel. Does anyone remember Erin Davis? Some call her Erin Davis. She pronounces it Erin, if I'm not mistaken, but we'll call it Erin for ease of use. Anyone remember her? Anyone remember her Volkswagen Beetle? The Volkswagen Beetle that was defaced by some thugs riding fag on it and spray paint, very ungracefully riding fag on it in spray paint. Why they're calling a young woman a fag, I'm not sure. Nonetheless, they did. Also on this Volkswagen, her nice new Volkswagen Beetle, by the way, they wrote, "You are gay," with U spelled U and R spelled R, gay. Now, Erin, instead of fixing the car, having it repainted, decided simply to drive around with it. She kept the slurs in the car as a way to start conversations and to raise awareness about LGBT issues and homophobia in Albany, in the Albany, New York area. Well, guess what? Her car has gotten a brand new look. Wait till the American Family Association finds out about this. The folks at Volkswagen, yes, the Volkswagen, have given Erin's car a brand new, absolutely awesome rainbow paint job. That's right. She now takes what she calls the fag bug. In fact, fag bug is written prominently across the side of the professionally painted rainbow color car. She takes the fag bug across the United States and keeps a blog. She said that the fag bug has become much more than it was when it started, and to be able to transform it into something positive rather than people looking at the car in the situation that it was in with the spray paint, they would, might be upset and hurt. So I'd rather they look and see how the bright colors are and see something fun and playful instead of something hurtful. If you'd like to see the pictures of the fag bug with the original spray paint job, you can go to fagbug.com. That's one word, F-A-G-B-U-G. That's fagbug.com. And you can see there's an image there of the original damage and also an image there of the bug that has been painted by Volkswagen for Aaron. When the American Family Association gets hold of that, well, Ford will be just a flash in the pan. I see that we have Chantal Pierre on the line. Chantal, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Hello, Peter.
Oh, sweetheart.
How
I'm fine. And can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Wonderful.
I had a bit of trouble getting through.
I am so sorry. The problem was on our end. We verified our international calling package today with our carrier, and in fact they said all was go, and they gave the studio the dialing information for how to ring you up in the United Kingdom, but darn, when it came showtime, it would not work for any reason. So I beseeched our friend Glenn to give you a call. Thank you so much for calling us, Chantal.
You're welcome, Peter.
Now, Chantal, just so I know for sure, that you're going to be charged if this call goes over an hour. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Well, let's not do that. Plus, in fact, it's 2 a.m. at your time. So
let's not
keep you up all night anyway. So we'll count on keeping you till for about an hour. If you wouldn't mind keeping track of that for me, because I'm a little bit off regarding the time the call was initiated. Thank you so much,
okay,
Chantal.
Okay, that's fine, Peter. You're welcome.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, thank you, Chantal, for inviting me onto your show.
I am delighted to have you on the show. I am absolutely delighted, and I was thrilled when our friend Glenn Rivera, who I'm now calling the executive director of talent bookings for Strictly Confidential, in any case, I was thrilled when Glenn told me that he had the artist who did Instant Love on. I said, Glenn, no, I have been looking for that track since the early 80s when I played it in some clubs in Portland, Oregon, and it was one of the tracks that got lost along the way. So many times vinyl has a way of escaping. And I have been looking for a copy forever since then, for 20 years now, almost 30 years.
Lord.
And I couldn't believe it. I am thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's quite exciting for me as well after all this time, you know, to be on the show.
Yes, You are certainly not forgotten, Chantal. Now, Chantal, how do you grow up? How does a little girl who grew up in England manage to make it all the way to the United States on my turntable in the early 80s on the RCA label? Did you start out in a musical family? Do you have theater experience? What led you in this direction? This blows me away.
We did start off quite musically because we went off to boarding school when I was very young, and they veered towards the arts. It was one of these PNEU schools, and just my siblings and I were in there, and a couple of other people, and they veered really towards the arts. Like, we always learned about artists, and we'd listen to classical music. We'd play classical music, you know, on violin, cello, and all these different instruments. And then also we'd go off to stage school, to Barbara Speed School, and do tap and ballet, you know, the usual thing. But,
wow.
I mean, it's just quite long ago now, so it's a bit hard to sort of remember everything.
Was it your family that pushed you in that direction, tell us about your brothers and sisters in the family. Did you all lean that way?
No, not really. Well, my brother's he does sculpting with marble. My sister was an actress. She has a website on the internet I found the other day. And my other sister used to play the cello, but unfortunately she's got arthritis now, so she can't really carry on doing it. But really,
so in fact, In fact, you do come from a very creative family then.
But we haven't kept on pursuing things. You know, we've had different things happen to us, so we've had to let go of some of our creativeness.
Well, Chantal, as you got a little older, were you involved in the dance scene? Did you like to go to the dance clubs? And what was the scene like in your town? Are you, in fact, from Wimbledon?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm from Wimbledon. I live here still. The dance scene was, I used to listen to all sorts of different music when I was young, you know, and dance to it. I mean, it was all happening, I think, at that time. And disco was part of it. And, getting into the disco music was, it was quite strange, actually, because I knew this guy called Matthew, who was a hairdresser, who obviously knew Trevor Vallis. And Trevor Vallis was looking for a singer to front Instant Love. So I went along there, and he seemed to like me, and then RCA signed me up. And that was it, really, basically.
I see. So Chantal, you met Trevor and were quickly signed to no less than RCA Records, which is certainly no small accomplishment. People try to get signed on big labels for many, many years. What did you think of that? Were you shocked?
Well, yes, I was shocked at the time, but I don't know. I suppose I was a bit blasé about it at the time. But I was very excited about it at the same time. But I suppose my life went in a different direction. You know,
well, Chantal, go ahead.
No, I just, I went off while I was under contract. I remember going off to India at some point. And I think when I came back from India, I didn't really want to continue. Because I saw so much poverty and everything over there, you see.
I see.
And,
well, Chantal, on the record covers of both Extraterrestrial Lover and also the record cover for Instant Love, Chantal, you are a strikingly beautiful woman. My stars, you are a knockout. I know I'm no longer a knockout, so I figure that we've all have a few miles. But I've got to ask you, what was it like being a beautiful woman on an album cover and on RCA Records? Did you perform live? Did you have fan club? What was that like?
I did do a few gigs live. I remember doing, and I think I went off to Holland at some point and did a video there, but. As I say, nothing really came of it. And I'm just really surprised that on the other side of the Atlantic, this record was played. You know, I mean, I had no idea about this. And if it wasn't for the internet and Glenn Rivera, I wouldn't have known anything.
You mean to this day you didn't realize? You didn't know until recently that it was even played here?
Exactly. I just thought it came into the charts in London, and I think it got really. I mean, it didn't go very well in the charts, and I just thought, well, that's it. You know, hasn't got anywhere. Finished. You know, it's not going anywhere, and that's it. I really didn't think anyone had heard about it. And Dick
Go ahead.
Sorry, you go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, I will never forget the song "Instant Love." Actually, it was I thought it was beautiful, and in a striking sort of an electronic music way. The your vocals and the actual lyrics are, if you listen to them, are actually beautiful.
I do like the music. Actually, I've been listening to the music because I have actually got a copy of it. But I was listening to the music on the computer the other day, and I thought, Trevor Vallis is really good, isn't he?
Chantal, Glenn is an expert at setting so many of these wonderful old tracks to video.
Yeah.
What movie did he choose to go with Instant Love? And I think he did Extraterrestrial Lover recently, too.
Yes, he did. The first movie was, I don't know. I think it's Starman or something. It's with Zsa Gabor.
Ah.
Instant love to that. And the next, oh no, I think the Extraterrestrial Lover was by Starman with Jeff Bridges or someone. And Karen Allen.
I see.
Yeah. That was it, and, yeah. I'm getting confused.
And these are posted on YouTube. How did you happen to come across these?
Well, a few months ago, my cousin rang me out of the blue and said, you're on YouTube. And it was another blog. Somebody else had put me up there. And I got quite a few listeners. And suddenly it was taken off the air. And I thought, oh, well, that's gone. And then somebody else rang me up and said, you're back on. So that was it, really.
I'll be darned. I wonder if RCA got involved and wanted the audio removed. You know, it's a shame the way the record companies are such villains, that the songs, so many of this old music is available nowhere on the planet, yet if someone has the audacity to mix it with a video or to release a remix of it, the record companies seem to be very upset. How do you feel about that as an artist?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have thought they would have been upset after all these years because they haven't done anything with it. But then I don't know. I don't know how these things work.
Chantal, I want to ask about, without getting into dollar figures, compensations. We have so many artists that we talk to on this show, and their first records were huge hits, yet they received not a dime. Were you compensated at all? I hope you were.
I had a very good contract if I stayed for the 3 years, but I didn't. So I didn't get what I was supposed to, I suppose. But then that was my own fault and my own choice. You know, I went off and I had children, so to me that was more important in a way.
I see. Did you meet someone in the record business? Is that how you met your husband when you had the kids and all?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
<did, yeah.
laughs> sort of is just fine. Chantal, we have Glenn Rivera on the line for you. Glenn, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Peter, hello, Stuvia.
Hi, Glenn.
I should say Chantal.
So, how are
Peter,
you?
I'm doing very well, Chantal. Thank you. The reason I was calling in, Peter, is I wanted to thank Chantal on the show. She was quite very, very, very helpful in regards to getting herself, you know, getting to know me and also getting to know Peter and the show and being a part of the show now. And this is, as for most of those DJs that know all the underground music and have played it and have loved it, and not much like the I Will Survive or the Last Dances of the Disco period, this is music that was kind of the bottom of the barrel when you're looking for music. And when you found something that was this well, it was kind of like a gem for you. You held it very close to you. And this is actually a song that was referred to me by my brother who lived in San Francisco at the time and would send me postcards and note at the very bottom of the postcards which songs were climbing really big in the clubs. And he did note Instant Love, and that's how I got acquainted with the song and fell in love with it instantly, of course. Pardon the pun on that, but fell in love with it right away. And, of course, Extraterrestrial Lover was following that, and that's pretty much how I got to know Chantal's music. And I've been in love with the music ever since. So this is a very big thrill for me to actually get to know her and find out a little bit more about her, because I believe that there's some energy she put into the song that made it what it is today.
Well, Glenn, I would have to agree with you. Instant Love was one of those tracks that you basically you end up. I originally ended up with it out of the record pool, and we get so many stacks of records from the record pool. It takes a while to get through them, but it was one of those very special songs that you just couldn't ignore. Instant Love, for whatever reason, was not something that you just. It took the right moment to play it, but nonetheless, it was not the sort of record that you just said, no, not going to do it, don't like this. It was just wonderful music.
And that's pretty much
how I feel. Thank you very much.
And that's pretty much, Peter, how I feel about it, where it always reminded me of something like Donna Summer's I Feel Love. It was sensual. It flowed very beautifully. The vocals matched the music perfectly. It was almost like a kind of a galactic futuristic feel, and the vocals kind of floated over the music. And I was talking to Chantal about the music, how Trevor Vallis was ingenious to how he created the arrangement and had the way the breaks flowed. And on an Extraterrestrial Lover, he uses some kind of keyboard that sounds very similar to a music box, the little player instead of when you open a music box that plays like little strokes of that. And it's ingenious because it creates a very trance, almost like an early trance, like in 79 there was no such thing as trance music, dance music, but it's very similar to that feel. It has a very, it kind of pulls you into it. It creates kind of like a very relaxing effect over you. And of course, with her vocals over that, it makes it get classic because it flows beautifully. And those of us, the DJs that know disco music and know what disco music's about, and we've experienced many different artists and producers creating it, we're able to kind of appreciate a little bit more and actually find a little bit more in the music. And I think this is the kind of an example. That's why it's such a thrill to have her here and ask her to let her know what the music has done. That's real important to me also for the people the artists that have a big part in it, that they know that they're appreciated and that the music's still alive out there. Although it might have been many years, they're still being appreciated. So that's what it means to me.
Oh, thank you, Glenn. That's lovely.
Oh, you're still welcome, Sonny. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
Well, Peter, I'm going to thank you for your conversation.
And thank you so much for alerting Chantal and getting her on getting that little detail worked out about the calling. Thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome, Peter. Have a good time, Chantal.
Thank you, Glenn. I'll speak to you soon.
All righty. Good night now.
Okay.
Good night, Glenn.
Night.
Chantal, Glenn has been instrumental in putting this show on the map musically. He has set up for us so many incredible music guests from way back in the day that everyone has completely lost track of. And indeed,
yeah.
You are quite a find because Chantal, if you Google your name, or there are very, very few references to you on the internet. You are very much an enigma and very difficult to find out anything about. I'm thrilled that you were able that you got in touch with Glenn.
Thank you, Peter. That's very, very nice of you.
Chantal, I remember vividly an evening back in the early 80s, I was playing at a club called The Zoo in Portland,
yeah.
Oregon, and somehow or another, I had two copies of Instant Love. So when a DJ has two copies of anything, you know they cannot resist playing with it. And so it sort of goes, the nature of the beast. I remember starting Instant Love. It was the middle of the week. It was like a medium-sized crowd there, and there were people dancing. And interestingly enough, it fit beautifully. For whatever reason, the song was just magic. The dance floor packed. With Instant
wow.
Love, and it's hard to put my finger on it, because there's so many anthems from back in the day that you could always count on packing a dance floor. That it was quite an evening. Actually, the evening went very, very well from there. And also at the same time, having two copies, I began phasing the two albums together. You no doubt know about DJs who do that sort of thing when they just can't resist. Well, it was a magical phasing because it was one of those things where when the pitch controls were set somehow or another, they were magically set exactly the same. And I'd be darned if that song didn't phase for about 5-6 minutes. There was a DJ who was working as a bartender that night. He sort of worked catching a few extra bucks. His name is Timmy Feller. He's no longer with us now. But I remember he looked up at the DJ booth and his jaw had dropped because it's like, how can you be facing this long? And I guess gave him a shrug. I had no idea. But magic things like that did happen. Sylvia, were you influenced by the Italo disco? We've heard so much wonderful Italo disco here that most of us haven't heard by way of Alex Natikin, who's also referred to us by Glenn. What was that like over there?
The metallic disco, did you say?
The Italo, European, really. It's not really all from Italy, but for whatever reason, we keep calling it Italo over here, Italo disco.
Oh. I really don't know, Peter.
I see. There, so many. Once, for example, one of the big ones was "Fun Fun" with "Color My Love," and that was huge back in the day. I was wondering if you heard those or were influenced by them
back in the day, but I really don't remember much. I mean, it's 30 years ago.
Well, to us,
it's quite
like
a
yesterday.
Long time ago. Yeah, I have trouble remembering yesterday.
Chantal, did you travel
oh, yes,
back
I
in
traveled.
The day?
I did. I went to a few places, and I did a bit of traveling, and then, of course, I had the children, and so I've been quite busy with them because I've got quite a few years between them all.
I see. Well, so, Chantal, did you travel singing the song when the song was at its peak?
No. I just did a few gigs in London, and I remember going to Holland and I think Scotland, and doing a gig there. But I didn't really travel that much, no.
Chantal, you in the same year you came out with "Extraterrestrial Lover," which I think was far more popular actually than "Instant Love." How did you happen to come across that song? Did Trevor give that song to you, or have it written for you? How did that work?
Well, I think it was the writers, Braun and Co., who actually wrote "Instant Love." I think they wrote "Extraterrestrial," if I remember correctly. And he had that there for me to sing on, you know.
Did you sing in a studio with live instruments? There's a lot of synthesis there.
No. He had a synthesizer and the keyboards and stuff, you know. There wasn't live musicians on there, to what I remember.
Wow. Those days were precious. And tell us how you came to record under the name Sylvia Love. I remember when Glenn first called me, he said, you would know her as Sylvia Love. And I said, yes, I remember the label. It was black. It said Sylvia Love on it. How did you record under that name?
Well, I was a bit skeptical about calling myself Sylvia Love because I wanted to keep my real name. But they said that there was a Chantal Pierre under RCA in France. But I really think that Instant Love and Sylvia Love, I mean, you know, it goes hand in hand, doesn't it? I suppose it was a setting point, you know, for them.
I see. Well, you know, back in that time, Chantal, of course, Donna Summer was huge. Were they trying to groom you to be a Donna Summer that originated from the United Kingdom, or what was the dynamic there with someone like Donna Summer?
No, I don't think they had that in mind. I don't think they referred that to me at all. In fact, I knew Donna. Well, my sister knew her well because they starred in Hair together in Munich many years ago. So I met Donna a couple of times back in the day. But I can't remember Trevor ever saying that to me, no.
I see. Well, that had to be interesting meeting Donna Summer there. Probably, I heard Giorgio Moroder's name mentioned along with your name.
Yes, I met him in Munich too, yeah. Yeah, he's a very nice chap, you know. I met him all those years ago. And in fact, I remember being in his studio while he was making that music to Midnight Express. So that was quite exciting for me.
Hold me darn. Well, it had to. Giorgio Moroder was just incredible. And I think every listener here has heard his music, whether they know his name or not. He was ubiquitous.
Oh, gosh, yes. You know,
yes.
Very,
and
very good.
What a talent.
Yeah.
What a talent. Sylvia, or rather, Chantal, we have another legendary DJ on the line to speak with you. We have Mr. Larry Sanders on the line. Now, Larry Sanders comes to us from the Sandpiper fame on Fire Island, and Larry is one of the how do we put it, first generation DJs is I think the best way to put it. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, sweetheart. Welcome. This, and we have Sylvia with us.
Sylvia.
Hello, Larry.
Hello. Hello. Welcome to America.
Thank you.
You know, I wanted to ask you, and I'm probably cutting to the chase here, but actually, you know, while I was waiting, one of the questions that I had for you was actually presented, and that was your relationship musically to, or your influence by Giorgio and the Donna Summer sound that began in 1977 with I Feel Love. Of course, her first album was way before that, I think 1974, but nonetheless, the Giorgio sound with I Feel Love. Were you actually influenced a couple years later by that music in 77?
Was I influenced?
Yes.
Well, not really, because I didn't write the song or anything. It was written for me.
I see. I think, you know, Glenn had mentioned also that, you know, there were some comparisons between the I Feel Love sound and your Instant Love and Extraterrestrial Lover tracks, that, you know, there were just there's similarities, and it was quite uncanny. But, you know, I had left New York in 78. And moved to Detroit, and I built a record pool and provided music for 60 DJs, and I'm kind of, excuse my English, kind of pissed off because our record pool was never serviced with your music. And
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Chantal, Larry was saying that he's upset because apparently
I'm just playing. I'm not really upset either.
Yeah, that the record pool in New York did not have the Instant Love track for whatever reason.
Well, the record pools in Detroit were not serviced, and I'm just wondering if your music, your song, these two songs in particular were, you know, because they got a rotation here in the clubs in America, and I'm just wondering what the channels were to get, you know, to get them to the turntables here in America. If it was actually your label RCA, it was RCA America.
It was London.
RCA London, England. Okay.
Yeah. But
I'm just kind of, you know, puzzled that such a great song did not get the play that it really deserves here in America.
Oh, thank you very much.
So nonetheless, 60 DJs in Motown never received your song, and so Motown missed a golden opportunity to be turning your record.
Maybe they didn't do enough to promote it.
I'm sure our loss. And anyways, it would be great to hear you do something anew.
I agree, Larry.
You know,
I agree absolutely.
You know, maybe the children are all grown up now, and you have a little free time to get back into the studio. I'm not pushing.
Maybe they are, but maybe they're not.
Well, anyway, Sylvia, God bless you, and nice talking with you. And
God bless you, Larry. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, you take care.
Thank you,
Larry.
You too.
Okay, good night now.
Good night.
Good night, sweetheart. And that was Mr. Larry Sanders calling from the San Francisco area. And Larry was pointing out that perhaps the East Coast did not see the Instant Love track in circulation through the DJ record pools. I was on the West Coast at the time playing, and I know Glenn Rivera was on the West Coast playing, so we were in fact exposed to it. Sylvia, do you mind if we I keep calling you Sylvia. I can't help it. It was on the album. It was on the label. Chantal, I really would like the listeners to hear Instant Love and of course Extraterrestrial Lover in a little while, because the your singing is absolutely beautiful. And in fact, you could compare it to Donna Summer, because it's at least as good. I mean, you guys are so much on the same par. So let's run that 12-inch single, Bob. It's called Instant Love.
Okay.
at all. I have to laugh. I must tell you that in my wildest dreams, I never actually really expected to ever hear that song again because it was lost along the way, much less ever get to play it for people on a worldwide radio stream. This is really just my mind is spinning. It's hard to wrap my head around it. How long did it take you to? You're very welcome. Did you record that in one take? How long did it take for your work to actually for you to actually do that?
I think we did it in the studio one afternoon. I think so. Yeah.
I see. Was it just you and Trevor there, or was it a whole collection
Trevor
of people?
Trevor and the songwriters were there, and another person, I think. It's really, you know, I'm sorry, I can't remember what you want me to remember because it's so long ago.
You
know, it just seems a different world now, you know.
I see.
So
well, yes.
Years passed by.
I see. Well, you know, the DJs, we never forget. We have a mindset that keeps us remembering so much of the music, and I'm delighted that it's still around. By the way, VJC, who is Victor, he runs Disco 935 in New York.
Uh-huh.
It's disco935.net, is in the chat room, and he has asked me to say hello to you, and that he is, I believe, running it now on Disco 935 from time to time.
Gosh, thank you. Hello.
You can check Victor out by going to disco935.net on the internet.
Disco935. Okay, fine. Thank you, Victor.
And Victor says that you sound so sexy. And Victor, if you've seen the album covers, it would just blow you away. How quickly after Instant Love did you release Extraterrestrial Lover? Well, how did that work?
I think that was a couple of months after, if I remember right, because it all happened in 1979. Both songs were in 1979, and then I think I went off to India in the October or the November of 79. So I think I was with them maybe about 6 months.
I see. And from your point of view, which was more fun to do? Did you have between the two, which ones did you like best, and did you have a favorite?
I think I liked Instant Love back then best, but now I listen to Extraterrestrial. I quite like that one too.
Can you believe, looking back on it, that you even did this stuff, Chantal?
I can't believe it, and I can't believe what's come out of it either. You know, I mean, it's quite bizarre, really, isn't it? You know, I'm really happy about it. You know, I think it's really nice that it's all happening over there, you know, on the internet. And I mean, without the internet, I wouldn't have known anything.
Yes, it has.
Me by a probably would have been buried without even knowing it had been played again.
Chantal, it has really connected some of the strangest people on the entire planet, I have to tell you. And it's such a joyful way. Chantal, we will run Extraterrestrial Lover, but what we'll do is we'll run that after we say goodnight, because I don't want you to wait on hold while we're running the track. I would rather talk to you for the time we have left. And also, just to let you know, we'll run that after we close. But we have a DJ from disco935.net I was just telling you about. Victor is on the phone for you. Victor, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Chantal.
Hello, Victor.
Yeah, I figured since I was chatting with Peter on the chat area, I figured I'd call him myself and just and chime in and said hello.
Hello, very kind of
obviously,
you.
If it wasn't obviously if it wasn't for Glenn to send me these tracks a couple of last week, I would never know who you were or your sound or anything. But what I heard the first time I heard it, I said I got to play this on my station. So it's now in rotation on Disco 93.5 here in New York.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Victor.
You're welcome. And Obviously, I just wanted to just chime in on that. I know you don't have a lot of time, and just wish you luck in the future, and if you ever come out with any jams.
Oh.
Like I think it was Larry was saying, yeah. You come out of retirement.
I'll let you know.
Okay, just like I said, real quick, I just wanted to congratulate you from the your two past your work from the past. Obviously, I just
yeah.
like I said to Peter, and I was chatting with Glenn a little while ago. I got to just say that it's some great work that you did in the past, and it's unfortunate that it was never pushed here in New York. It's just
yeah.
a shame. That's how the record business works.
Well, yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. And even us, for us DJs, the same thing. And it's not what you know, it's who you know, in the whole nine yards, you know.
Yeah, I know. But thank you anyway for plugging it.
Right, so if right, no, that's what I'm about. The Disco 93.5 thing is to keep the artists and the music alive from back in the day. And obviously
okay.
I'm a real DJ. That's why I run the station, because the these big corporations won't play stuff like what we're playing right now. You know that stuff that Glenn sent me, your stuff. You gotta excuse
yeah.
me. It's about 10 o'clock. I'm a little tired myself, and over there it's about
yeah.
3 in the morning.
That's
all
right.
So you have a good evening. Be listening to on Disco 93.5 for the cuts, and hopefully maybe I'll get some, maybe get a push here and there. You never know.
Oh, right. Thank you very much, Victor.
You're welcome, Chantal. Have a good night. Have a good night, Peter.
You too.
And Glenn, you're the best.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Victor. Chantal, what's it like hearing a DJ saying that your records are in rotation 30 years later?
Well, that's amazing. I'm really I'm very happy, actually. It really made my year.
Bless your heart. Chantal, there are people who are wondering about your kids. Now, Glenn is telling us that you have three girls. Is that right?
Yeah, I've got three lovely girls and two grandchildren.
Wow. And are they musically inclined? Are they going to be bringing out the next generation of dance music? What's up with them?
They like their music. They have diverse tastes, like I do. And the younger one, actually, she's the youngest of my three girls is 10. And she's very much into singing. I think she'd like to be a pop star.
I'll be darned. Well, she certainly has come from a mother that could give her a few lessons. How do they react when you tell them about what it was like in the day and that your mother sang songs played all over the planet?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I didn't tell my eldest, who's 28 this year, until she was about 12, I think. I didn't really mention it to anyone, because I just think, well, the song was never heard. What's the point of mentioning I did it? So I've never really sort of, spoken about it at great length.
Well, bless your heart. You really did have no idea then about the fact
no.
that it was played. That's a shame. That's a shame, Chantal. That's the, I'm so glad that you found out. I see. Were you ever in any of the dance clubs in the United Kingdom when the song was actually playing to crowds? Did you ever observe crowds dancing to your music?
I did in London, central London. I don't remember the club, but I did get a very good reception on a couple of clubs I did there.
I
played the music and they were really dancing to it. They seemed to love it.
But
it didn't evolve from there.
Chantal, did they know you were in the club at the time? Were you a guest in the club,
yes,
or did
yes.
you just have...
No, they knew I was in the club at that time because I went to the RCA people.
Ah, I see. Do you recall the name of the club?
I really don't remember, Peter. I'm hopeless. I said to Glenn, you want to do an interview, but I don't really have much to say.
Well, part of the joy of this interview, of having you on, Chantal, is just to surprise you with actually the the depth of our sincerity when we say we're so glad to have found you. I mean, honest to goodness, where did you go?
Thank you so much, Peter. It's really, really kind of you. I appreciate that.
Well, Chantal, you've been a wonderful guest. We're nearing the time that we're going to be going over an hour, and it's nearing the top of this hour, and I know it's almost 3 a.m. there, and you do have a life other than doing radio interviews all night long. What is your morning like? Do you have the kids there? Do you have to get them off to school? What are your mornings like?
Well, my two youngest are with me, but the middle one, she's at college, so it's a younger one I have to take to school, and sometimes I pick up my grandson on the way and take him. So it's all a little bit hectic in the mornings.
Well, Chantal, it's very kind of you to stay up till 3 a.m. We have one question from the chat room. Glenn is asking, he wanted to know if you did live shows.
I did a couple, I think, of live shows, but there again, where did I do them? I mean, I'd have to go back and ask Trevor, and I doubt if he'd remember.
I see. Well, you know, this is going to cause a lot of thought. I believe that these things are going to start coming back to you after having been asked all these questions. I think that pretty soon this is all going to come back to you as in full perspective.
Do you think so?
I think so. I really do, Chantal. You know, once you start hearing the music and talking to people about things, tomorrow you'll remember 15 things that you didn't remember today, and the day after that you'll remember 15 more. And
okay, I trust in your words, Peter.
Chantal, the chat room has very much enjoyed you. They're saying that you're a gracious woman, and they're delighted to have heard from you, as myself and Larry Sanders and Glenn Rivera and Victor and all of the other DJs who are listening
thank you very much. I really like to say thank you to them all, and thank you for listening to the records, too.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. And as soon as we hang up, we're going to run the full-length Extraterrestrial Lover. I just didn't want to keep you on the phone when we did that. And God bless you, Chantal. Hugs to the children,
Peter.
Too. And encourage the singer. We want more. Encourage the little girl who likes to sing, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay. Good evening to you, and thank you, sweetheart. You're an excellent guest.
Thank you. Good evening.
And I'll be sure and get you a copy, send you a link to the audio archive of the show tomorrow, okay?
Oh, lovely. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you, and good night to you. Folks, that was Chantal Pierre, absolutely stunningly beautiful woman, came out with two huge underground hits back in 1979. We've played Instant Love for you, and didn't want to keep her on the line from the United Kingdom, passed around 3 a.m. her time. After all, she does have a life and children to deal with in the morning. It was very gracious of her to join us, and Glenn, thank you so much. And so at this point, let's let the folks hear what her second hit was. This is also from 1979, also from the RCA label, also recorded under the name Sylvia Love, Extraterrestrial Love. amazing. Just amazing. Sylvia, love, you done good. And encourage that daughter of yours, please, the one who has taken an interest and wants to be a pop star because she has the genes to do it. Chantal, please encourage her. And without a moment of ado or a moment of wait or any delay at all, we have VJC. Victor, welcome back to the show.
Hello. It's VJC back in the house.
Yes, all the chat room is thrilled to hear you. They love to hear you say hello, and I do too.
Yeah, well, it's a hello. You know, like I told you before in the shows in the past, how I got that hello was, I don't know if a lot of people remember this guy named Roscoe here in New York. He was on WKTU back in the late 70s, early 80s. Every time he started his show, he used to always go, hello, this is Roscoe. I mean, the guy was just... it's just, I can't even describe the type of DJ he was. He was just a classic, like a Frank Rocker.
Well,
way. I don't know if you ever heard of Roscoe.
No, actually, no. I mean, coming from Dixie, VJC, we don't get much news down here. In fact, if I hadn't run away from home and lived on the West Coast for about 8 or 9 years or 7 years, however long it was, I probably wouldn't know anything at all. So, no, but if you got a hello from him, it's priceless. That is a great tagline.
Yeah, the DJs back here in New York back in the 70s, there was no. I can't even explain the type of DJing back in the day. It was just classic. It's just not like that no more. It's unfortunate that even here in New York, it's so blasé with the DJs and the music and everything. I mean, you had to experience here in New York the 70s music. I'm not even talking about the disco. I'm talking about the jazz, the salsa. They had a lot of great stations here in New York back in the day, and it's just unfortunate that everything went so corporate and everything is so robotic. It's just a shame that they just don't go back to that time. When the DJ was what's called freeform, and they let them play what they wanted to play and describe what was going on, and it's just a shame that it's not like that no more. And obviously,
I agree. I was just saying that I agree. And back in the day, Victor, DJs were often responsible for breaking new music on the dance floors, in especially in the bigger cities, and had quite a lot to do with how popular a record became by breaking some of these new artists. And does that happen anymore with DJs? Do record companies give any kind of a care for DJs these days?
I don't think so, Peter. I think it's more corporate, push this sound because that's what the kids want to hear and all this stuff. I could be completely wrong, but I know when I was growing up back in the 70s, it was just a feel of, I think this is going to be a hit, let's play it no matter what, even though it wasn't a known artist or nothing. I mean, that's how, a lot of these artists got exposed, because if it wasn't for a lot of these, clubs and radio stations back in the day, it would never have been exposed. You had to have an ear for knowing what was hot and what was not. It wasn't as a hot hit, but you played it anyway. You never know it was going to take off if you didn't give it a chance. And unfortunately, today's music they don't give it a chance because they just want it to be the jukebox type of radio where people would tune in and remember that song. Like for the last 40 years, there's so much music out there, and like I was saying to Chantal, obviously if it wasn't for Glenn Rivera to push that those two songs to me last week, I would never know who Chantal was and her music. And when I heard the music and then when he sent it to me, I said, wow, this blew me away. I mean, it has the feel of Moroder and Donna Summers type stuff. And like I said, it wasn't for that, I would never know who to push this type of music. The minute I heard it, I just started programming right on Disco 93.5.
You thought so too then. You heard, when I, Instant Love to me was Donna Summer in an entirely different envelope. You know, it was an amazing, uncannily, and I'm not saying she was trying to be similar to Donna Summer. I'm saying she's at least as good. It just blew me away.
Exactly. She had her sound, and even though it sounded a little bit like Summer, but she had her own sound and her music, and you can hear the there is a little similarity in that aspect, but you could still distinguish from Summer to her. I mean, you can tell it's not Summer, you know. Maybe because obviously I have an ear for the music too, and it's just a shame that it's like last week when you had Man Parrish on, what happened with him? I mean, you know, you got these artists that are really not well known. And they were just being ripped off and taken for a ride because of the certain sounds, and it would take their sound and rip it off and all this other stuff. But
that was a disturbing story, hearing that from Man Parrish. He went into such detail. He had to go into the recording office. He had to go into the corporate offices and beg for rent money. They totally deceived him in every possible way. The guy was huge. Three records at the same time in three different genres. There was the rave crowd or the trance crowd. I forget how he put it. There was also the hip hop.
The heat stroke. Heat stroke. The male stripper
Hip hop bebop. Yeah, those are the three.
Hip hop bebop. Right, and
at the same time, and the poor guy, and now they've sold that to Brit, or rather to Canada. His music has been sold to Canada.
Right, so they could re-import it, so they could make money on it, which basically just came out of New York. They brought it to Canada to push it back here in back to New York as an import, which actually came up from New York, just to make a couple more dollars.
Well, Victor, is this true also?
I remember buying that record here in New York in the early 80s when it first came out. It came out as an import from Canada. And I remember buying it. I said, it was like $6-$7. It was just an import. And it wasn't out here it came from New York, but it was imported from Canada. And it sold $6-$7 here in New York. And it was weird because you couldn't get it in any other fashion but an import. Because I remember two copies of that back in the day.
I'll be darned. Well, Victor, I have been told that this same phenomenon happens between the United Kingdom and the United States. That there's a whole lot of stuff that you can only buy from the United Kingdom in terms of the old dance music because they have the licenses somehow or another, and that it's all as an import. Are you aware of that? This is going on too.
Sure. And the thing is, back in the day when I was buying my music, I noticed a lot of this stuff was coming out of New York because he even said it. You know, I mean, I read about this, and the thing is, it was imported. I said, but wait a minute. If it's coming out of New York, it's imported from somewhere else. What was the story? See, I never knew until I started listening to your show, and obviously when I heard Man Parrish telling the story, I said, oh, that's how they did it. I never knew after all these years how they did this. So this is what they did in order to make a couple more bucks. Off the artist, and the artist wasn't even getting paid. It's just a shame.
It is a shame. It is a shame. Victor, you have Chantal in your rotation now. Do you have her as part of a mix or as standalone tracks?
Well, right now, I got the tracks last week. I'm just rotating the tracks right now. But I plan to put them in mixes, and I plan to take the vocal and instrumental and try to remix them and make them longer and try to do what's called a BJC remix project on those and then put them in also in mix rotations in the next couple of weeks.
That's a great idea.
As long as I have some time. I'm such a busy guy. But it's just because I enjoy pushing the music from back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever it is. You know, it's just like I've been telling you since I've been on your show. It's about pushing artists, about pushing the music, keeping the music alive. And that's why I run the Disco 93.5 and I keep on doing it. And also I just love the music from back in the day.
Victor, how long has Disco935.net been running?
Well, I've been running it since 1999, so it's been almost 9 years now.
Now, isn't that a lifetime for an internet radio station? Isn't that considered a very old station?
Yeah, because when I first started, it was dial-up. It wasn't high speed, because Live 365 at the time was very, very small. It was a free thing that, you know, was for hobby. It's just for hobby. And now it's everything is about the almighty dollar. Now it's about royalty fees and all about all this nonsense that makes no sense. Because back 8, 9, 10 years ago, none of this was nobody thought about this stuff because it was just so small. But now, since we've gotten big, you know, especially on the internet, everybody wants a piece of the pie now. You know, that's the capitalism here in the States. And to between me and you, Peter, it's bullshit.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. How does that work? Do you have to pay different record companies, different, or is there a yearly fee? How do royalties work?
It works because Life 365, I pay them for a yearly subscription. They take that and pay the artists. That's how they do it. You know, the revenue stream that they get from all these stations here on Life 365, they take that and they pay the artists whatever that fee is, because they're trying to make it even a higher fee, and it's ridiculous. They're going to take us all out of we won't be able to do what we want to do because it's too expensive. I had to reduce my fees because they wanted more money, and I'm not going to pay for more money and I'm already playing enough as it is, and no one's giving me anything for it.
Right. So you started this just because as a project of love, really, nine years ago.
Because here in New York, they weren't playing this anymore. So I decided back in 1999, I had a computer, and I started putting, you know, my station together. And little by little, I built it up to this point at this time in my life. It's now 2008. And I don't know where I'm going to take it from. I mean, I would like to take it even further, but it's very expensive. You know, it starts to add up, and it was just really because I was just trying to keep the music alive. And a lot of stations are doing that too, because a lot of stations are looking for people to call in and donate, you know, money to keep these stations alive, because they want so much money for these fees and the streaming fees and all this other stuff that. After a while, is it really worth it? I don't know. You know?
Well, it's self-defeating behavior.
Sure.
One of the DJs that we all know, I won't mention his name, but you probably already know the story, posted a particular track on a website because it was one of the old tracks that is simply not available anywhere for any amount of money. It has literally disappeared. And he posted that along with some other, and but darned if the record company didn't contact him and ask him to take it down for no reason other than to it just blew me away. It's as if they don't want the music for anybody to ever hear it again. It's self-defeating. I just don't get it. I'd be thrilled if somebody like Chantel is thrilled to hear that her music is being played. The record companies, they own everybody. They own it's amazing to me what's happening.
Right, Peter. It's just, I think I know what you're talking about, that song that was put on the internet.
That's right.
To the story, right? Well, I won't.
Right, we better not, because it could call more attention. Right, yeah.
Exactly. We know who's hearing. The person knows what we're talking about.
Right.
But in general, it just goes back to the fact of that if you're playing stuff that no one's heard before, you know, if it wasn't for DJs like me, the music would never have been pushed. Like right now with Glenn, if it wasn't for him sending me the Chantel stuff, I would never have known about that. But obviously, I take it so I could promote it, push it out. It wasn't like so I could take it and sell it and everything. No, it's about pushing the music, and maybe someone hears it and they want to buy it. That's why I try to do on my station, so people can listen to the stuff and then, you know, maybe, you know, help the artist by buying their stuff. You know, and because most of the stuff almost all my stuff I planned on Disco 93.5 has been basically bought by me from back in the years. A lot of DJs also have shared some stuff with me too, but I don't take it and sell it. I take it to promote it, to push it, and that's what I'm about. You know, I don't try to make a dollar on it. It's just trying to push it to help the artist. That's
you know, Victor, it seems to me that it's always the DJs that are in the middle of this mess. I remember back in the day, you know, the amount of money we got to play at the clubs was pitiful in places, you know, that were not like New York or San Francisco. Yet out of those meager dollars, we were expected to buy our music. Now we've talked about record clubs. We would indeed get some tracks from record clubs, but it was never the mainstream huge stuff, you know, like If My Friends Could See Me Now, and you know, all the huge hits, right?
Right.
You had to go buy those, right? You had to go, right, just like everybody else.
You had to go get, when you get paid or whatever, you had to go run, go to the store, buy final songs. I mean, no one gave them to you, you had to buy them. Then you had to play them, and then no one's giving you credit for you pushing the music. And it astounds me that then these big corporations making these big tons of dollars, and you don't even get a mention. You know, just like I was talking about the Mayor Parrish thing. I mean, the guy actually made this music, and he was ripped off. It's a shame what goes on in the record companies even to today.
I have to agree. And Victor, what's up with? Is it true that clubs? Dance clubs are having to pay royalties now directly, depending upon what the capacity of the dance floor is. Is that true too?
I think so too. It's all this nonsense going on. What happens? They're taking the fun out of the music, or you can't even enjoy yourself anymore. You know, you go to the club, you got to be careful. Don't smoke here. Don't drink over here. You know, you can do this over here. At 10 o'clock, we got to shut down. I mean, especially here in New York, it's getting me so blasé. It's just not. It's like they've taken the fun out of creating a sound or anything. Everything is so you know, like politically correct. It just makes no sense at all. It's goddamn boring. They're taking the fun out of
tell
out
it,
of,
brother.
Out of, you know, out of creating something. They're taking it out. They're just making it. They're taking the soul out of the music and they're making it hollow. That's just my opinion about what's going on today. Because back in the 70s and 80s, when I used to listen to disco music and dance music and any rock music or jazz music, it had soul, it had feeling, it had meaning behind the music, and still today you can hear it sounds great. But today's music, they're just making it, everything is fabricated to for sound, and so they can sell it. It's about making a quick buck, and then whether it's a hit or not, they don't care. As long as it just sells for a couple of months, they don't care. I mean, that's
well, you know, that's
opinion.
So true. That is so true. And so many artists, and I don't know, I haven't seen any dance music artists doing this, really. I know Ernest Cold offers his via CD Baby, but nonetheless, he does sign with some of the big labels, too. Do you see more and more dance artists offering their music directly as MP3 downloads?
Yes, but basically it's happening that way too, because it's the way of the future, because everything electronically now. Everything is that's how the kids, you know, get onto the internet and they see that stuff, and they instead of buying CDs because they want to put it on the iPod and all that other stuff. So this is what's happening. But stuff like what Ernest Cole is playing or putting together, it's a shame that his music is also not being pushed out, because I've been pushing it as much as I can on my station, but it's funny how people are finicky about certain sounds, even though it's dance music. If it doesn't sound like that other sound that they just heard, they won't get into it. But I always say, but it's still a dance music. Why don't you just get into it? And then what happens is, even when I notice when I play my live sets, sometimes I might be playing sets that's flowing, and also I might change a little direction and play something left to center because I want to give the artist a chance to be heard. Because I can monitor who's listening, who's not, and I can see the drops. So all of a sudden, I play something different. They all drop out. They'll come back in when I'm playing something that they're familiarized with. But that's okay, because at least I'm taking a chance with something that people can they have to be educated. The problem is today, no one's willing to have the balls to play something different than always being safe and say, oh, we got to play the same 10 songs over and over again, because if not, my audience doesn't like that. No, I don't agree with that.
Now, Victor, when you're playing at disco935.net, what information do you see about the listeners? Do you get to see what city they're in? What information do you have?
Well, I can't see them, but not at the moment. But I can tell how many listeners I have. So sometimes I can see 10 listeners, 20 listeners, and all of a sudden, as I'm playing my live sets, I can see the people who are staying, and all, I mean, I can see the drops. In other words, I can see the ads and the drops. In other words, I could tell if I'm playing my music and I'm playing my live sets, if I still got the same audience, the audience might go up or down or stay the same throughout the night, whenever I'm playing my sets. Some nights I might have, you know, it's like I guess you're in the club. You know, some nights you have a hot night, some nights you have a cold night. So that's what happens to me sometimes. But it's just, that's the way the game is played, I guess.
Well, it's a shame that it's entirely clear to me that if you're playing to, you know, a listening audience, internet or terrestrial, let's say 13,000 people, obviously you're making some money. But if a guy is doing this just to share the music and they're doing it via the internet or have or whatever method they use to distribute it, and they're talking about varying between, you know, less than 50 listeners at any given time, the record companies have a heck of a lot of nerve coming to them wanting money. What is
exactly
that?
I agree. This is bullshit. In other words, I might have been 10 to 12 listeners listen to me on a daily basis. At night, maybe I get 6 or 7. That's because nobody takes the computers with me. Plus, people are home sometimes watching TV and everything else. And, you know, people sometimes put on their computer. And there's a lot of people like me and you. We don't have time to sit there and listen to the computer all day. You know what I mean? Or sometimes we record it. But the nerve of them, because I'm a hobbyist. It's the hobby for me. I have 10 listeners, so now I have to pay royalty fees, all this bullshit, just because it's just a hobby and I'm just trying to push some music, maybe for out of the whole world, 10 people. What kind of shit is that?
Well, I was on your stream this weekend, actually. I was listening to disco935.net, I believe it was Saturday, for an hour or so when I was doing some things around the house, but oftentimes, I'm fortunate enough to have the computer speakers I have are kind of brawny, and I can turn them up loud enough to hear them all over the house. But the thing is that, you have to really be dedicated to that particular genre to listen via computer. Most people just don't, and I don't know why, but you're doing a great job.
I get a lot of compliments and everything. It's just what happens is, like I just told you, it's very hard to get anybody to listen 24/7, 365. It's impossible, because it's not like the radio where you could take it and listen to the car, listening to the job, you know, listen at home all the time. It's very, very hard. Plus, a lot of the stations, especially on Line 365, the audience is not that big, and they make, like me, I'm a very small station, but when I do play, you know, I get 10 to 12 listeners. I mean, and then they want all this outrageous money just because I'm playing music, because these artists plus Peter, I think I told you this before, most of the artists that I play are dead.
Well,
like
there you go.
They get the money.
I'm sorry, I hate to laugh at that, but so many of us are missing from back in the day. And you have to wonder, even the ones who are still living, do they see a penny of this money?
Look at poor man Parrish. I mean, I can still play his music, but is he getting paid? No,
no,
I guess not.
No,
I mean,
no, he said he had there's some sort of a lawsuit. Yeah,
sure.
He's hoping to get it worked out, some sort of a lawsuit. And God bless him. I hope he is able to do that. But nobody's getting that money. It's just going to some corporate pot somewhere.
Right. And the thing is, it's strange that when I heard his story, and I mean, he's very articulate. You can hear that he sounds very intelligent, he's knowledgeable about music and what's going on. And when I heard that just broke my heart. I said, wow. I mean, it's still in my head what he said, and it's like, it still blows my mind away, what's going on. You know, and that was back in the 80s. So who knows what's going on right now.
Yeah, I was very impressed by him, actually. The story that he told was really quite an amazing one, all the things he's been through. And being, you know, on your own in New York when you're 14 and running with the Andy Warhols, I mean, you know, that had to be a hell of a life. Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think Madonna did something like that, too, when she first started, because that's how she came to New York from Detroit, I think the story is. And and she met Lillian Benitez, and Benitez played her record, and that's how she got famous. So, you know, but at least she got famous, but poor man Parrish, what did he get out of it? He got fucked.
Right.
He
did.
No.
He truly did, and it's a darn shame. Well, Victor, thank you so much for joining us during this time between the wonderful appearance of Chantal, and we have a gay bar across the street, a segment that I had as for this evening. I didn't send out the email on it, the email flyer, but we have Larry set up to run this evening as gay bar across the street. And Larry Sanders is in the house tonight. Tomorrow night we have Rick Ashman, and you may not know it, but you are going to be Monday, Tuesday. You're going to be Wednesday night.
Okay, so before I hang up, I have to send you some more shows. I have to do some more shows in the next couple of weeks. I'll get you some new fresh shows going.
Since
Chantal was on until 10, I figured I was just trying to be a special guest for the next half hour.
And you did good, because I've enjoyed talking to you. I always enjoyed talking to you, Victor. You really are a treasure, and you really are. You're one of those people that there's just nobody like you. There is only one Victor VJC. There is only one. God could have only made one, and we're so glad that you call us.
Okay, thanks, Peter. And you know, like you always email me and everything. Hugs.
I do.
And hello and good night.
Hello. Okay.
Good night. I'll be talking to you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you for calling. And folks, that's our dear friend Victor VJC of Disco935.net in New York City. Hello. And Victor will be DJing at the gay bar across the street. Wednesday evening. Tomorrow evening we have, yes, Rick Ashman is tomorrow evening, and then we have Victor on Wednesday evening. We always enjoy his sets. There's some great stuff that he has sent along. And by the way, I don't know which night we're going to do it, but we have a new track from Martin Verlin from the Netherlands, from the Dutch DJ who treated us to such a wonderful mix a while back. And he will be back this week with a brand new set that I'm looking forward to you hearing. He actually, I hate to tell you this, but he sampled my voice and used it in the mix, which is a huge embarrassment, but nonetheless, in spite of that flaw, it's absolutely wonderful. So we do have a wonderful set by Larry Sanders, who's joining us at the gay bar across the street this evening, and we'll go ahead and get started with that. So as we head across the street, gathering our pocketbooks and umbrellas, here we go.
Across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows, and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors. We'll be right back.
up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. Better if we just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, yeah, just you and me.
And thank you, Mr. Larry Sanders, from an undisclosed location near San Francisco, for that Gay Bar Across the Street segment. As always, we appreciate your participating in the show. World's most dangerous yet somehow lovable DJ, Mr. Larry Sanders. In closing this evening, I'd like to again thank Mr. Glenn Rivera, our Executive Director of Talent Bookings, for bringing us Chantal Pierre, a.k.a. Sylvia Love, for that surprising interview of a regular lady in the United Kingdom with kids and school and who just happened to have two mega disco hits in her background. Tomorrow evening, we're going to have Jansen Borges. Jansen is an 18-year-old high school student. He goes to Coral Glades High School in Coral Springs, Florida. He'll be joining us at the beginning of the show to talk about the National Day of Silence that was brought about by the Gleason people. He's a Gleason student organizer, and he'll be with us tomorrow night. Thank you, Jansen Borges, for joining us tomorrow. Wednesday evening, we'll have Mr. Scott Hall from Gay American Heroes. Scott will be telling us about the exhibit of photographs of LGBT folks who've been killed for existing. And it toured today in the Florida State Capitol. It was the first time it had been there. There were several press conferences, and I'll be looking forward to talking to you about that. And there is a horn section. Myself and John Fox and Mr. Bob Kincaid will be on just shortly, so stay tuned for that. So in closing, love you guys. Here's Cynthia Manley reminding you too.
Ask any musician. The best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn. America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section.